You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
Indeed, to London we go. Good morning to you, Adam. This sounds like Groundhog Day, a mysterious Russian death. This time, another investigative journalist.
Morning, Bongani. I think it's fair to say Russia's been in the news a little bit of late, but you're probably going to put two and two together like me with this, but we have an investigative journalist in Russia. He wrote about the deaths of mercenary soldiers in Syria. He's died in hospital after falling from his fifth-floor flat in Yekaterinburg. Maxim Borodin died in hospital from his injuries. Local officials say there was no suicide note. They suggest the incident may have been of a criminal nature. His flat was apparently locked from the inside, and witnesses have come forward talking about seeing someone with a gun on Borodin's balcony and how there were several people in masks and camouflage in the stairwells and so forth. So putting two and two together doesn't take very much. But the International Monitoring Organization, OSCE, says the death is of serious concern, and they've called for a thorough investigation. Assuming that this is nothing like state-sponsored, surely, yeah, Russia will investigate properly. But from the outside, it looks very suspicious, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's questions that are going to be asked around that. Now, this is an interesting one. Immigration guilt, shame of how the UK governments or various UK governments have treated the people of West Indian descent or origin.
And indeed, the government used those words, guilt and shame, talked about a day of national shame, and has essentially apologized for mistakes made in the Windrush generation. These are people who came to the UK, particularly it was the ship, the Empire Windrush, which started that name, bringing people from the Caribbean in the 1950s and 60s. There's a cutoff point. All those who arrive before 1971 are fine, that's arriving from the Commonwealth, as long as they can prove it with the right documentation. And by and large, people would arrive with their South African passports, their Australian IDs, whatever. But many from the Caribbean did not have documents. Many have spent decades working in jobs, paying taxes, getting health benefits, signing on with doctors, etc., etc. And then suddenly, this government, and it began with Theresa May when she was Home Secretary and not Prime Minister, has done a bit of a crackdown on this. And so 140 MPs of all flavours have said, what are you doing? It's essentially an invented bureaucratic crisis whereby some of these people who spent decades being British are now being denied health benefits and pensions and jobs, and in some cases threatened with deportation. Well, unfortunately, I mean, whilst the government has acknowledged that the terrible mistakes have been made, they've now appointed a task force. I don't know about you, Bongani. I always groan inwardly when governments appoint task forces, but maybe it'll get somewhere. Let's hope.
A mistake. It sounds like an administrative thing, not a policy decision, when in fact it wasn't just a little clerk making a mistake there. That's going to be an interesting one as it develops further. Now, a 94-year-old is going on trial for Nazi atrocities.
Yes, 7 years ago, there was a really important ruling in Germany whereby German prosecutors could charge any of the obviously few surviving Nazi SS guards who were seen as accessories to mass murder. There may be no evidence they actually did anything, but it's the fact that they were there. And so this change to the law means now, suddenly, we have another case. A 94-year-old former SS guard charged with aiding and abetting mass murder at Auschwitz-Birkenau death camp. The case against this German man, he hasn't been named, by the way, the case against him has gone to a court in Mannheim in western Germany and will go through the process. And the claim is that he assisted in the murder of about 13,000 people, in particular Jewish people in Auschwitz. We keep thinking this is surely the last case, but do you know what? There could be a few more yet. 94 years of age, we'll see if and when he ends up in court.
That's a very interesting one. Imagine living that long and then having to deal with your past sins catching up with you in that way. Adam Gilchrist on the line there from the UK. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And some of the questions that have been coming through are absolutely fantastic. Don't stop. We may not get to yours immediately, but we will deal with as many as we can. And today's question comes from Sebastian Mack, who's tweeted, what is the standard circumference of a soccer ball? And how was that size decided? I mean, just think about that, right? Have you ever thought about that? Who decided how big a soccer ball should be? Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Kabelo Bosilong, the CAF and FIFA licensing instructor.
The official size and weight of the ball was first fixed in 1872 when the newly formed English Football Association set to write the first laws of the game. It stated, according to the laws of football, the ball must be spherical with an outer casing of leather or approved materials. The circumference shall not be more than 70 centimeters nor less than 68 centimeters, while the weight at the start of the game must not be more than 450 grams nor less than 410 grams. The laws of the game as published today say exactly the same thing as to the size and the weight. What has changed drastically over the last 50 years or so is the material the ball is made of and the shape or the panels that make up the ball.
The material, of course, that might have a lot to do with how the ball might bend. In other words, you know, what is it? Aerodynamics. Isn't that what the word is, Tsego Modisana? That's a very, very interesting. I've never, until this moment, ever thought about the circumference of a football. Congratulations, Sebastian Mack, for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072 702 1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.